1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but out of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken for? The food over which I give thanks. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So I have a few thoughts on this passage. All things are allowed, but all things are not God glorified. All things are allowed, but all things are not furthering the goal of spreading the word that saves. All things are allowed, but not at the expense of destroying another. All things are allowed, not for your own good, but for the growth of others. So, kind of everything we do has to be held captive to the law of love. What we do is not as important as what the effect of those things are on us and the people around us, and how it strengthens or weakens our focus on God. Everything we do must be measured against its effect on the kingdom now and that kingdom to come. Our liberty in Christ should not make us more selfish, as would freedom from responsibility. It makes us more focused on the kingdom to come and its furtherance. This focus should create a selfless appreciation of freedom, which is our blessing. Lord Jesus, help us to know that our freedom is governed by your law of love, and that everything we do should be measured against that.
Of the five solas of Reformed theology. Do you have that slide, Spencer? Salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, and our source of authority is the Word of God and Scripture alone. You remember last week we talked about Martin Luther, who was accused of heresy because he refused to acknowledge the two sources of authority that the Roman Catholic Church recognized. Scripture and church tradition. And church tradition did not permit Scripture to be interpreted in a way that conflicted with church tradition. When he was called to recant of his doctrine of salvation by faith alone, he said his conscience was held captive by the sacred word of Scripture. And he could not go against Scripture. This week we're going to resume our discussion about sola scriptura. The Reformers held to a high view of the Bible's inspiration and of its infallibility. The Bible is the Word of God, the verbum Dei, or the voice of God, the Word of God, the verbum Dei, or the voice of God, the vox Dei. For example, John Calvin writes, "When that which professes to be the Word of God is acknowledged to be so, no person, unless devoid of common sense and the feelings of a man, will have the desperate hardihood to refuse the credit to the speaker. But since no daily responses are given from heaven, and the Scriptures are the only records in which God has been pleased to consign His truth to perpetual remembrance, the full authority which they ought to possess with the faith is not recognized unless they are believed to have come from heaven as directly as if God Himself had been given utterance to them." Now, when he says, as if God had been heard giving utterance, it does not mean that Calvin believed the Bible had been dropped down from heaven directly, or that God himself wrote the words of the past pages of Scripture. Rather, as if refers to the weight of divine authority that attends the Scriptures. This authority is rooted and grounded in the fact that Scripture was originally given under divine inspiration. This claim agrees with the Bible's own claim to authority. Spencer, you want to put up that next slide, please? Paul wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there are two important points in that quote. First of all, Scripture comes from God. It's by inspiration of God. And secondly, Scripture is sufficient to govern every area of our life. Paul's declaration of Scripture's inspiration refers to its origin. The word translated inspired is the Greek word theopneust, T-H-E-O-P-N-E-U-S-T, which means God breathed. Though the word usually is translated inspired, which means breathe in, technically theopneust refers to a breathing out, which might more accurately be translated inspired. What Paul is saying is that Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. When Calvin and others speak of Scripture's inspiration, they refer to the way in which God enabled the human authors of Scripture to function, so that they wrote every word under divine superintendence. The doctrine of inspiration declares that God enabled the human writers of Scripture to be agents of divine revelation, so that what they wrote was not only their writing, but in a higher sense, the very Word of God. The crucial point of the biblical claim to authority is that God is the source who breathes out His Word. It is clear from the study of the Bible itself that the author's individual styles remain intact. The inspiration of the Bible refers then to the divine superintendence of Scripture, preserving it from the intrusion of human error. It refers to God preserving His Word through the words of human authors. When we say the Bible is infallible in its origin, we are merely ascribing its origin to a God who is infallible. This is not to say that the biblical writers were intrinsically so or are in themselves infallible. They were human beings who, like other human beings, proved the axiom to err as human. It is precisely because humans are given to error that for the Bible to be the Word of God, its human authors require assistance in their task. There are some in our day who say that the Bible is inspired, but it can err. Its authority can be questioned. Now think about that. Would God inspire error? If God inspires Scripture which is erroneous, then God must either lack omniscience or be evil himself. May it never be. His inspired word is the word of truth, and so we affirm that it is the inspired, infallible word of God contained in the Scriptures, which alone is our source of authority on truth. Lord, help us to always put your word in the position of authority, knowing it is the ultimate source of authority which cannot be modified by man. Help us to stand against the efforts of the world to disparage the inspiration and the infallibility of your word. We ask it in the name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven, by which men may be saved. Amen.